You are listening to Nerding Out with Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. We are broadcasting from the train car located on unceded Cassia territory of the Gidimden clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. And if you are one of the lucky listeners tuning in today, it is Friday, January 19th of 2024, and you get to experience the live NOWL Nerding Out with Laura comeback show. That's right. We are live on the air after a long break. I'm Laura, and today we also have a longtime friend here, Quinn, who's going to co-host.
Hey, Laura. Oh. Thanks for
Hey, Laura, thanks for having me.
Probably be good to turn on your mic. yeah, this will just be like a fun show, no stress. We might forget buttons. It's all live and, yeah, just trying to get back into it and bring other people on more, get them in this station.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's been a good year so far, and it's great to be on your first live show this year, so.
Well, that'd be great. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing with kind of last minute notice. And yeah. So we met, was it like, I've been in Smithers for like 9 years, and we met pretty shortly after I moved here, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was the first or second week of November 2015.
Yeah. Oh, so long ago.
I bought my first piece of furniture off you, a desk
were
using as a craft table.
We were like the only people on, what even was it? It was like
Kijiji.
Kijiji, that's right. And then we didn't know that people didn't use Kijiji in Smithers, but we did.
Yeah.
Quinn's a smart fellow. You've done like some forestry work in Smithers and knows lots of topics. And we actually just ran into each other at the thrift store at New to You, and I had to tell Quinn about my latest exciting hyperfocus, which is I've been watching this guy on Instagram, and it's at ERiceEverythingLead, and this guy just goes into thrift stores, and he has like this special lead testing reagent that he's been using and developing, and he just like tests things in the video, and it's shocking how much lead is in these products.
Wow. Yeah, when I ran into you there at the thrift store, I was so surprised when you told me. I couldn't believe it, that there's so much lead in all kinds of these different products made, and I'm very surprised, so I'm excited to test some things out.
Yeah. Just a little bit more about the show here. If you tuned in the past, you would likely have heard just my voice and maybe a few pre-recorded interview snippets. I've been working on this new format, and I think it'll be fun to have like these rotating co-hosts to learn and to teach me things. So, we're going to talk about lead. And obviously, we knew that lead was bad. Yeah.
I don't know if we knew that when we were kids, but I'm sure my parents told me.
I remember being told, like, be careful with cheap jewelry. And so there's always, like, a kid swallowed a necklace and then died or something.
Yeah. I think it went with don't put that in your mouth.
That's don't you put it in your mouth.
Because they know everything was painted with letters. Lead-based paint.
Yeah, so I'd mostly heard about it as, like, cheap children's toys or jewelry could have lead, like the jewelry is made with lead, or like the toys are painted with lead paint. I've heard a lot about the risks of renovating old houses and the paint dust that can form from that, because I guess it was 1950. Before then, most things used lead paint, and so if you have a house that was built before then you have to be really, really careful. I guess just like hire like trained professionals to deal with that, and don't be around, especially if you've got kids when that paint is exposed. But So I hadn't really thought much about lead. I thought, oh yeah, it's like, I'm fine. I'm not a child. My child's getting older, not putting, trying to eat toys so much anymore. And I, my house is older than, or was built earlier than, my house is not as old as that. I can't figure out that sentence. So I wasn't too worried until I started watching these videos.
Yeah, I'm really curious, like what these videos were like. Like, I'm so surprised that there's still a lot of products, or like people are still getting rid of stuff with lead in them. And how do you find out that there's lead in them? Like,
yeah. Okay, so I went to the profile of this guy Eric, who was posting these videos that, you know, he would test like old crockery or glasses and stuff, and the paint on them would, he has like this UV glow compound. So he says in his profile that he is with Skytus Lab Products, and quote, "I've broken out of the lab to spread awareness and facts on lead." And he had a link to his website, detectlead.com. And I will like to be open that there's a bit of a conflict of interest here, in that he is actually developing and selling a apparently better lead detection kit. And I can't vouch for that, but I think you should be aware that, you know, this person is selling something. So yeah, just keep that in mind. But you know, he seems pretty legit. He talks a bit about how a reagent is a chemical that detects other chemicals by reacting with them to form a colored product. So you can be like, yes, that has lead, or no. And of course, we've been using these type of tests for hundreds of years to ID different compounds. And what this guy is saying, that his research in lead detection that he's been doing for the past 5 years or so, he felt like the technologies were really insufficient to serve the public, that the tests are pretty expensive. I think I paid $25 for this Abotex lead test kit at Home Hardware, and it only comes with 4 tests. And yeah, so he says, this Eric guy says that these tests are over-engineered and they monopolize the market, so there's not a lot of choice for us, and that it's pretty important to test lead. Yeah, I guess let's just take a little song break, and then we will get into the dangers of lead. And after a little bit, we are going to actually use this DIY test that I bought to test some stuff that we found among our own homes. So stick around if you want to find out those results. And I have a song here called Going Under by Russell Lowder. I don't have a lead topical song. I don't know. I looked up lead or lead poisoning on Spotify. And yeah, nothing really popped up that was exciting. So you'd be surprised at some of the topics of songs. So. But Russell Lowder is a Canadian artist from Montreal. And yeah, here's their song, Going Under.
Wish I could sleep until the storm I sail has left me something better than what I have come to know. I wanna hear the wind that sings the song of you and of fair weather, and how you've learned to come and go. Every time I feel I'm sped from the ever-changing tides, the taste of salt upon your skin, the restless sky reflecting black and blue. Are you anchored where the waves subside, or capsized in your own oblivion, calling to homeland while the sirens call to you?
We are back. You're listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 FM. This is Nerding Out with Laura. I'm Laura, and we've also got Quinn here.
Hey there.
And we're talking about lead. And have we been exposed? So I'm pulling some information from Health Canada. Just their general like info sheets on lead, and then they have a study that was done in 2021 on lead in Canadians that I thought was pretty interesting. So maybe we'll look at that if we have time. Also some info from the World Health Organization, a paper I found from 2017 on lead and cadmium in decorated drinking glassware. And yeah, as I mentioned before, you may have heard Instagram is my source, as we were inspired to look into this by a profile of a guy who tests lots of things in thrift stores for lead. So scientific. No, but I think it's important, like methods that people get information out there, because I never thought to think about this, so...
And I'm sure your listeners are like, I heard it on the radio from Laura.
Yeah. That's like me. I'll be like, I'll have heard something on a podcast. Like some of the podcasts I listen to are like actual scientists like talking about their stuff that they research. But like, you know, when you say I heard it on a podcast, it sounds not great. So I'll be like, I read it somewhere.
I ran into someone and they mentioned.
Yeah, because that's, you know, much more accurate. Yeah. So what is lead? Lead is a naturally occurring metal that's found in rocks and soil, and it has many, many industrial applications, which is how it tends to get to concentrations that are harmful to humans. So we care about lead because exposure to it can affect multiple body systems and is particularly harmful to young children. Like I knew that it was bad for kids, but a new thing that I learned is it's not just that like they're young and developing, but they like actually absorb a higher percentage of the lead than adults.
Really?
Yeah. So it says about approximately 30% to 50% of the lead ingested by children is absorbed into the body permanently. And that's compared to only 10% is absorbed by adults.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like with lead, what does lead affect? Like brain development and like growth and
So it's distributed to the brain, liver, kidney, and bone. it's stored in your teeth and bones. So I guess, yeah, because kids are growing, they're like storing extra into their body.
Yeah.
And then it accumulates over time. Yeah. And also if you were exposed to, or if someone who is exposed to a lot of lead and as a child, and so it's in their bones, it actually then released into the blood during pregnancy. So of course it's very bad to a developing fetus. Yeah. And it says here, there's no level of exposure to lead that is known to be without harmful effects.
Oh, wow.
So it's not.
I bet you I've been exposed to lead a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get into the lead in Canadian study. I think we want to know. Yeah, just FYI, I am a elder millennial. I was born in the mid 80s.
And I was late 89.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. I probably have more lead, not just because I'm older, but because of the time frames and the regulations and stuff.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, so it says here, high levels of exposure to the brain and central nervous system is severely damaging, can cause coma, convulsions, and even death. That's pretty rare. Usually it's more like small amounts over time building up that they find. Yeah, so at lower levels of exposure that cause no obvious symptoms, lead is now known to produce a spectrum of injury across multiple body systems. In particular, children's brain development, resulting in reduced intelligence quotient or IQ, behavioral changes, and reduced educational attainment. It also can cause anemia, hypertension, renal impairment, immunotoxicity, and toxicity to the reproductive organs. And these are irreversible.
Oh, wow, that's terrible. A lot of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there was like that water down in the States that got a lot of attention a few years ago. It was like Flint or something. Yeah. Man. So I've heard about it in like old plumbing and the paint, yeah, like we said.
Yeah.
But I figured, we're fine.
Yeah, I guess you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never even heard about this testing or anything like that. Just, I'm sure there's regulations now to remove lead from any production of foodborne or like cutlery or paint or dishes, dishware and that. But
yeah,
it must be pretty recent that these regulations happened, like in the past 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. So I think here it says, because we have a long history of global use, it's pretty ubiquitous in the environment, in air, water, soil, food, drinking water, household dust. Yeah. But apparently, levels have declined significantly over the past few decades, nice, thankfully, due to the discontinued use, supposedly, of lead in paint, and then also in gasoline. So I'm sure I never really thought about it, but I know you've seen the signs like unleaded gasoline and never really thought about it. And I think, I don't have the note here, but I think it was like the 1990s even.
Yeah.
So like when, when did Canada stop using leaded gas? 1990.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Under the Canadian Environmental Protection Act. yeah. So that's a fun fact for you. That's 5 years after I was born. How many cars have I sat in? Especially living up north, you know, you're sitting in a running car or whatever. Yeah. Loving that smell of the gasoline as a child. Did you like that smell?
I did, actually. I was like, oh, no. You know, there's always some smells you're like, oh, this is quite the memory, but.
Markers, oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, permanent markers. Those are terrible.
Yeah. Well, that'll be another show. yeah. Oh, yeah. So among food contact materials, so, yeah, things like plates, glasses, I guess cutlery, whatever, anything that touches your food that you're going to ingest, there's ceramic ware has been the focus of a lot of attention over the past few decades because it uses various heavy metals and metalloids in its finishing. And actually, I went on the Australian Department of Climate Change, Energy, Environment, and Water because they had, I thought, a better overview of lead in foodware or, yeah, ceramicware and stuff than the Canadian website. But, yeah, apparently when used in a glaze, lead gives a smooth glass-like finish that allows bright colors and decorative patterns to shone through. It's often associated with rich or intense colors. You cannot tell whether a dish has lead just by looking at it, though, but they have a list here of dishes that are more likely to have lead. So traditional glazed terracotta or clay dishware made in some Latin American countries, such as Mexican bean pots. Highly decorated traditional dishes used in some Asian communities are starting to feel maybe a little bit... What is xenophobic here, but
yeah,
I suppose it's to do with regulations. And then also homemade and handcrafted tableware, unless you are sure that the maker has used a lead-free glaze. We should reach out to some potters and smithers. I'm sure they're using lead-free glaze.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm curious. Yeah, because if there's regulations on other countries, I wonder if they have any, like, stricter rules on lead-based paint, or if they're a bit more, like,
Yeah, I haven't looked at, like, a comparison. I would imagine that, like, Canada, the U.S., yeah, and, like, Europe have similar ones, hopefully. And then it also says if there are decorations on top of the glaze instead of beneath it, or if the decorations are rough or raised, so you can like feel over it and feel like bumps, then that means the decoration is probably on top of the glaze and the glaze kind of holds the lead in. So you want it to be like under it and not have any like cracks and such.
Right.
Yeah. And then also antique tableware handed down in families are found in antique stores, thrift stores, garage sales. Anything that's got a corroded glaze or a dusty or chocolatey gray residue on the glaze after a piece has been washed is suspect. And it says that last one there, if it's chalky or dusty, don't use it at all. They're like serious lead hazard. So yeah, keep that in mind. Yeah, and we've brought an assortment of things to test here. This isn't a food item, but I feel like it must have lead. This is sort of I just got this in Mexico. It's a pottery cat with like very vibrant colors, and I can feel raised, bumps on the painted decorations. So suspect. Definitely wouldn't eat with that cat figurine, but still, I bought it for my child.
Yeah.
Now suspect. We've got some antique glasses. I've got like a grandmother's drinking glass with a gold rim painted on and a grouse painted on. I've got some old teacups. Of course, everything's painted right up to the rim where you put your lips on it. And look, this one has a little crack in it. So there we go. Even more. This one's like a blue and a gold. I've got a Japanese. My absolute favorite, most special tea set is my Japanese tea set.
You're going to be so disappointed.
It's got a silver rim and then blue and brown plants painted on the side. I've got a fancy tea set plate that's blue and yellow from the Spode Blue Room Garden Collection, you know, like the fancy English plates. And you brought...
I got this almost like a little shot glass with some shamrocks painted on the side of it.
That looks like it would be popular with a small child.
Yeah. Oh, it's very, totally. Very tiny. With a gold rim. Yeah, and then I brought a good old Bunnykin's mug. It's, yeah. I think it's pretty new. I don't think there'll be lead on the paint. I did bring a Fernie BC shot glass.
Okay, Fernie. Let's see. Yeah. Where are you ordering those from?
And then I have this, I brought a vase, like this flower vase that has, it says made in Turkey on the bottom of it. Mm. But it does have some paint on it that, but definitely no one will be drinking out of that. And then I brought a small little Christmas decoration that I thought, if I was a kid, I'd probably put that in my mouth. And it's it was painted in, I think it was painted in northern Montenegro. I bought it a couple of years ago when I was there for Christmas, and I thought, might have some lead in it. I brought a bunch of other things, like a snow globe and a pin and a few other things, but I think we'll focus more on, potentially things that would we'd ingest or our dishes and cups and
yeah, plates. Yeah, yeah. We only have four tests. So, like I said, that guy said they're expensive. They are. So four tests was $25, and I was complaining to Quinn off air about how they didn't even give me four cotton swabs. They gave me two, and then in the instructions they say to cut them in half.
Yeah, the test is pretty minimal, but
so we're gonna have to narrow down this collection of suspect dishes to four items. And unfortunately, I had only looked at the rapid test instructions, and there is actually a patented leach method instructions where we would soak them in 4 hours in vinegar and then test the vinegar. So unfortunately, I did not pre-prepare that. So we just have to do the rapid test.
So for sure we'd do the cat.
Yeah, I'm thinking the cat. Even though that's not a drinking ware, I feel like that one's highly suspect. I don't know. Your vase from...
Yeah. This Ireland shot glass?
Oh, maybe.
Or the vase from Turkey.
Yeah, the vase from Turkey. Or your little... This is gonna be hard. We're gonna have to do it during the song time. We'll have to pick out our four.
Do some eeny meeny miny mo.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So where do we go now? Oh yeah, I'm just gonna tell one more thing that may contain lead definitely contains lead. So have you heard of lead glass, Quinn?
No.
Have you heard of crystal?
Yeah, crystal, like mom's like a candy dish or like a nice crystal vase or the wine glasses, crystal wine.
Yeah, I've got totally. A nice collection passed down in the family. I love it. You know, my mom got almost entirely crystal pieces for her wedding shower, but like she hates crystal, so I got a lot of
them.
I did not know until very recently that the other name for crystal is lead glass.
Really?
It is just straight up lead glass, commonly called crystal. A variety of glass in which lead replaces the calcium content of typical potash glass.
Whoa. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So lead glass typically contains 18 to 40% by mass of lead to oxide or PbO. And modern lead crystal, historically also known as flint glass due to the original silica source, contains a minimum of 24% PbO. It's desirable for a variety of uses due to its clarity. And I think there's some more modern methods that might not use the lead, but it's just like part of the glass. And I think I'll go more into like risks and how you can reduce them later, but it doesn't seem to be as high of a risk as the paint.
Yeah.
I think because, well, maybe make sure you don't use chipped glasses.
Yeah.
That you might ingest a chip, but I'll just say it now that children shouldn't eat or drink out of those. And it says to not store food or alcohol over time. So I definitely have a decanter that has vodka in it. Decanter. Who knows how long it's been sitting there. So yeah, I'm going to have to throw that vodka out.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, this is really good information. I have no idea.
I know. Here I am, like, doo, 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 doo. Here, Freya, have a fancy, or my daughter, have a fancy crystal glass for your drink today.
Yeah. That's interesting. I have no idea the crystal glass was called lead glass, or is called lead glass.
Yeah, it's just another, I guess another it's more term. Marketable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, let's play another song. Let's go with Over Before It Began by, I don't know how to pronounce this, Soleil Cardinal. That's with like a C, Soleil. And let's pull up a little bio here because I like to introduce my musicians, the ones I've picked. So she is Canadian. Oh, Edmonton Arts Council is at the bottom of her page, so I would assume from Edmonton. I was just trying to find that. So this is Over Before It Began, and we'll be back after that.
Everyone else can see it, the way I start to shine when you come around. I got one thing on my mind. You're willfully in the dark, but you can't deny. I step forward and you step back. This frenzy got me so
listening to CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. You just heard Over Before It Began by Soleil Cardinal. And yeah, this is Nerding Out with Laura. I'm Laura, and we also have Quinn.
Hey there.
And we are talking about lead. We're learning about all the dangers of our antique food and drink cups and plates and
thrift
toys
finds over the years. And
I love thrifting. What about you?
I love thrifting.
Yeah.
It's funny that in the new year, the first place we see each other is in the parking lot at the thrift store.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's where we started talking. I was like, hey, you know, I'll probably have a bunch of these stuff on the shelves have lead in them. What do you want to buy? Yeah, okay. So we're going to make you wait a little longer, I think, for the testing. We're going to test. This is live. This is Friday, January 19th, 2024. I am recording this, so this will replay. Maybe you're not hearing it live, but if it's Friday, January 19th, you are hearing this live. It's my comeback show after many months of being away, and we're going to test some things for lead on the air with this DIY lead testing kit I got from the hardware store. But first, I just want to tell you about a little study of some actual chemists who tested some things with the bit better equipment than we have. And this came out in 2017 in Psi Total Environment, or that's a abbreviated journal name. I don't know. Science Total Environment, something like that. By Turner A, and it's titled High Levels of Migratable Lead and Cadmium on Decorated Drinking Glassware. So we talked a bit about ceramics, and now we are talking about glassware, so clear cups that have a design painted on them. And so I brought something like this. It's an old grandmother's cup with a grouse painted on it, and of course you've got the gold along the rim that all these old cups have. Real fancy. All I knew about that was don't put them in the microwave when I was a kid. Don't put them in your dishwasher either. We'll talk more about that. So these people, they wanted to test this decorated glassware. So they're including tumblers, beer glasses, shot glasses, wine glasses, and jars. And they analyzed them for lead and cadmium by portable X-ray fluorescent spectrometry. So they're using light to tell what metals are in the paints. And so they say that these externally decorated glasses are intended for beverages, are generally over glazed, so glazed on top. And there's a migratability test, so like how likely that those metals are going to come out of the glassware. And there are maximum limits that were adopted voluntarily by the glass industry. And so they are limited to the area within 20 millimeters or 2 centimeters of the rim where direct contact with the lips occurs. And I did look up Canada regulations. So there are regulations for that 20 millimeter from the rim section, and then different regulations for lower than that, which... Yeah, I mean, it's still on the cup, but I guess if your lips are getting all over the top there, and so that's more of concern. And so they did about 200 tests on different colors and regions of enameling on 72 products. And what they found was lead was detected in 139 cases and among all colors tested, with concentrations ranging from about 0.04 to 400 milligrams per liter. And so when I look up the Canada Consumer Product Safety Act for glazed ceramics and glassware, so this is under SOR 2016-175. Any drinking vessel with a distinctive exterior decorative pattern within 20 millimeters of the rim must not release lead in excess of 4 milligrams per liter. Wait, did I get that right? I feel like I copied that wrong. Let me pull that back up. It says past 20 millimeters is 0.5 milligrams per liter. So that's even lower. So that doesn't make sense. Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be 0.4. I've written that down below. Okay. You're allowed more lead in the top than the bottom. Doesn't sound right. That's what I get for hastily copying in the morning. Yeah. So they found some of them were below that 0.4 four, but the median, so in most of them that they tested, were about 63 milligrams per liter, which is well above 0.4 or 0.5.
And that was on just dishes that, or like cupware that they had found, like in...
Yeah, I should have said this was in the UK, so yeah. They were getting cups there. But I mean, a lot of these things are manufactured in like China or, I'm not sure where the lead decorative glass, you know, like you get a beer glass with the logo on it.
Oh, totally. Or
they actually included a picture and I sent it to Quinn last night. What did you feel when you looked at the picture of the glassware there? They found the lead and cadmium.
I saw my whole childhood flash before my eyes.
Yes.
Any painted glass that I drank out of the past 25, 30 years is just...
I had to pull this picture up. So what do we got in these tests? It's like there's a Tigger glass, there's a Kermit the Frog, there's a Star Wars shot glass, there's like a beer logo, Tiger Beer, a Coca-Cola glass... Just ones with, like, stripes around it, watermelon pictures, whatever, you know? Just, like, those type of glasses. Where I was thinking more old. Like, I was like, oh, this grouse thing from grandma, you know?
Oh, totally.
Whereas these are, like, 80s and 90s glasses, like, cups that you got for free or whatever.
Yeah. I guess, you know, if you are, like, producing cups with paint on them and there's no... Like, wherever they're coming from, there's a lack of regulation or some type of something. You buy, like, thousands of cups. A corporation or a company that doesn't, you know, like, that's something to think about, too. Like, especially in that photo where they're testing all these, like, cups and they're coming up above the regulation, like, or above 0.4.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
For sure. It's disturbing. And they also did cadmium. I'm not going to go into that. That's also very bad for your health, but a lot of them had cadmium as well. They found particularly like the yellow, oranges, and reds.
The colors and the paint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they say that the non-compliant samples, so the ones that tested too high for these metals, included both old and new products that encompass all categories of drinking glassware with the exception of jars. I don't know what's going on with the jars there.
Yeah.
So they say, according to the Federation of European Screen Printers Associations, organic inks that adhere to glassware are becoming more popular than these metallic pigments. So why are people still using these harmful ones? It's pretty interesting question.
Yeah. So I guess keeping in mind, you know, if you have something with paint that's at like 20 millimeters from the rim, mm-hmm. where you're actually putting your lips on it, be aware. Like, they're potentially that could have lead in the paint, right? It's interesting. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna switch to no printed or painted glassware, please. Maybe I'll toss that crystal finally.
Yeah. This morning when I was going through my cupboard, I was like, it's great that we don't have too many painted glasses. I just found the two shot glasses, but right now Laura's scoring or taking a sample from one of our
should wash these scissors after.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we've got 15 minutes left, so we should do the test. We were excited to do this live. So the instructions for the rapid method are to clean it, and then we test the paint by scoring the surface with a sharp knife to penetrate all the layers. We should be in a well-ventilated area, I'm sure. and then we are going to activate our cotton swab tip by inserting it into the indicator solution vial. And then we're going to gently rub the scored surface with the tip for about 30 to 60 seconds. And then we're going to see if it turns brown or black. And that will say that there is lead in it.
Oh, that's quick. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe we'll each do one. Which side of the knife did I? I think I just use that knife. I don't want to cross-contaminate my samples here. Maybe I'll just, like, swipe it on this carpet of the drink. Hey, actually, what was this train? We're in a heritage train car. I'm not sure when this was in use, but what do you want to bet there's lead all around us?
There could definitely be lead. Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
lick the walls. All right, I've scored this clay cat figurine, so we're not eating or drinking off of this, but I gave it to my child, and I just bought it from Mexico, so I'm feeling pretty suspicious. Then I'm going to do this grouse. Sorry, grouse. I'm going to...
Yeah, the one thing with this test is you have to deface the paint.
I'm okay with it. Just try not to breathe in while I do this. I mean, yeah, my partner keeps putting these in the dishwasher, so it's already fading a little bit. At least the gold stuff is. All right, so I've done two things. You okay. do? Do you want to do two? Yeah, go to town on that teacup. It's
okay. There's a
I gotta teacup know.
From this, like, Japanese teacup,
yeah, I think it actually, is. Actually, let's wait. Let's get... Sorry, I'm just going to grab a different pair of scissors because I'm worried about... cross-contaminating here.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Here, you can entertain.
Well, now that I have a moment, I'd like to thank a sponsor, Babine Animal Hospital. Thank you for your support. And, yeah, we really appreciate you. Laura's just coming back with another pair of scissors so we don't cross-contaminate the samples. But, yeah, we're ready to test out some dishes, some cups, and for lead.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to get a timer up here. We got to do 30 to 60. We're going to do 60 seconds, obviously. Okay. So I'm going to grab one of these. And I'm going to dip it into our indicator solution. So this is our reagent. And if it comes in contact with lead, it's going to change to a brown or black color. So I've got that on my swab. And I'm going to start with this cat because I feel like this one's highly likely. Even though we don't use it for food, I want to know. And we're going to gently rub. And yeah, you can go to town on the other one there. Okay. We'll do one each to start. Yeah, so...
I missed that. Did you dip it in the solution?
Yeah, okay. Just soak it in that solution. Okay. And then over your scored section, maybe while we talk about this, I'll say some other things that you should be aware of that have paint that could be contaminated with heavy metals. The exterior of bottles for the storage of beer, wine, or spirits. The external text and logos on egg cups, Pyrex jugs, measuring cups, and the undersides of coasters and chopping boards, apparently, are also suspect. Okay, so I've gone 1 minute, 60 seconds, and... Huh, shocking. Okay, well, that's good. Apparently, this cat figurine, so far, I'm not seeing any color change, so... That's good. Hopefully this cat I bought for my child is not lead contaminated. So way to go, Cancun, with your pottery cats. Good to hear, or good to see. Let's...
On my sample here, It doesn't look like there's a brown or black coming out of the...
Okay, good. Yep. My Japanese teacup seems to be good.
You'll all be right. able to still use your Japanese teacups.
Yeah, okay. I was feeling pretty worried, but now I'm feeling less. Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go.
Suspect.
So I'm going to keep rubbing. So right now I've picked up the grandmother's grouse glasses with the metallic gold rim and... So I've scored the actual grouse wing here, and I mean, it is brown paint, but there's definitely not enough brown flecks coming off to be turning this swab this brown color. So, let's see. Looking at my timer, giving it a good rub.
That almost changed instantly, eh?
Yeah, look at this thing.
Wow.
I was starting to wonder, I'm like, oh, is this kit defective? I guess we'd wonder if none of them tested positive. Is it the kit or is it that our samples are safe? But this one, yeah, this one. So cording, I would say this is like a medium to dark brown.
Yep. Yeah.
And right, so that says there. About 10 to 25 parts per million of lead. Board there.
I'm surprised that that painted glass is probably a centimeter away from your lips.
Yeah. All right. So we're about 25 milligrams per liter, which is above 0.4 within the 20 millimeter section of where the lips touch the glass. So I have been drinking from this glass that has lead paint on it, and it's been touching our lips. Oh, boy.
That's very surprising. I can't believe that. Wow.
Yeah. You know what? These negative tests, why don't we rub them on a different cup now? Will you pass me that silvery one? I'm really... This one, the taller one. This one came from the dump swap shop, and I was so happy with it. But let's give it a try. I'm going to score this.
So my last sample here came up clear. So there's no... traces of lead.
And so which one was that?
This is the Irish made in Ireland with the shamrocks with the gold rim. Mm-hmm. And I just scored the shamrocks, scraped it up and been rubbing it for over a minute and a half now, and there's nothing. So
good. Yeah, that one, that's the one where I was like, oh yeah, that looks like a child's favorite little tiny cup there. All right, so I'm rubbing. I don't feel like this is coming off very well. That's a good thing. If it doesn't scrape easy, then even if it has lead. So I'm trying this dump cup here. Here, 30 seconds.
I love going to the Telqua Mall. It's my favorite place to go. Oh,
yes. Totally.
But now I'll be aware of what kind of mugs I grab.
Yeah, no crystal, no painted cups and plates and stuff. Yeah, I don't think this one, I don't know, I didn't score it very well, but it doesn't seem to be turning, so that's good. Maybe I'll try it. So there was another version of the test where you soak it in vinegar for 4 hours and then you test how much is leached into the vinegar, but I didn't have time for that one. All right, so we're one out of four now. We're on the...
I scored your plate here with the blue ceramic plate.
Okay.
And I'm rubbing it. And there is... I almost think there might be a bit of a discoloration, but not much.
No. The grouse one turned pretty quick.
Yeah. I think this is good.
Okay, what about...
We have this one here.
Oh, yeah, that blue one, yeah.
Or we could just try one of this, the Christmas...
Yeah, do you want to try your Christmas ornament?
Yeah, I'll try
it. Where this was that from again?
Christmas ornament from Montenegro.
Okay. Yeah, you've done some really cool traveling.
Yeah, we ended up traveling all over the place. I was actually just in Ireland. Couple first and second week of December, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot. The lead in Canadian study. Maybe I'll just quickly pull this up. So they were looking at blood levels of lead in different age groups in Canada, and so I'm just looking at the graph here. Lead concentrations in the Canadian population age 6 to 79. So this is over 2007 to 2019. And it's decreasing each year or each 2 years that it's showing each of these bars. So there's a statistically significant decreasing trend in lead concentrations in the Canadian population overall, aged 6 to 79. So that's great. They declined by 38% from 2007 to 2019. And then here, they've actually separated by age group. Interesting. And yeah, have you heard of the boomer generation being referred to as the lead generation?
Leadheads? No. Yeah. No. No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, because they, I guess, were exposed to a lot of lead.
Oh,
so.
No.
But I was starting to wonder, I'm like, well, what about me? All right, so what do we got here? 3 to 5, pretty low. 6 to 11, similar. 12 to 19, similar. So we're looking at micrograms per DL. What is DL again? A very small amount of liquid. So what we're looking here, yeah, the children are all around 0.8 to 1.2 in 2007, decreasing to maybe about 0.5 in 2018, 2019. But when we get up to 20 to 39 year olds, it jumps up by a small amount, bigger jump in 40 to 59. We're looking at about 1.2 to 1.6 in their blood over time, but of course decreasing up till now. And then the oldest generation has the most lead in their blood, the 60 to 79 year olds, at 2.0 in 2007, decreasing to about 1.4, it looks like, in 2019. So the older generation seem to have more lead, but overall everyone's got less lead.
Wow.
In the last 20
that's
years.
Good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's good. And I got some tips here for staying safe. Do not heat food or drink in crockery that may contain lead. Cooking or microwaving speeds up the lead leaching process. Do not store food or drink in dishes that may contain lead. The longer they stay in contact with them, the more lead that can be drawn in, like my crystal decanter vodka. No longer going to drink that. highly acidic food and drink will also increase the leaching. So, you know, citrus fruits, apples, tomatoes, soy sauce, salad dressings, soft drinks, especially like cola drinks, alcohol, tea, and coffee. Also, don't put it in the dishwasher. It can damage the glazed surface, making it more likely for the lead to leach into the food the next time it is used, and also may contaminate other dishes in the dishwasher. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good information, Laura. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I'm glad. I think we only had one positive, right?
Yep,
okay.
One positive.
So we tested about six here, and your little decoration was negative?
Negative.
Yay!
Negative. Yeah. It had a bit of a gold color, but I scraped some gold paint, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Does it look like flakes or just an overall gold? No. I would say, based on this, because the faint yellowish tint is a 1 to 3 parts per million.
There we go.
Yeah.
Two things.
Yeah, I don't think you would have scraped that much paint.
No.
It would be like little flakes. Like if you look at my green from the cat ceramic, it's just like specks.
So totally that Christmas decoration's a positive.
So hang it up high where the children aren't going to try and gnaw on it.
I will.
All right. Well, yeah, if you may have heard the noon bell in the background, that means that's our cutoff. So I hope you've learned a little bit more about lead, and maybe just don't buy so many suspect painted things for eating and drinking out of at the thrift store or taking them from your older relatives.
Yeah, they're nice decorations, but drinking and eating out of them,
yeah. Yeah. Looks like I've got maybe a test or two left. So
a couple more.
I'll do some more around the house. Yeah, I've heard like old Pyrex dishes are suspect, although they tend to be on the outside of the dish. And I did find a side note. There was some antique pottery or something that was glazed with like a radioactive paint. So that, that was a cool video. Some guy bought like a, a meter and it was going off like crazy. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, just be careful, everyone. Stay safe and healthy. All right. Yeah. So that's us. We're back nerding out with Laura. Maybe Quinn will come on for another show.
I'd love to come back.
Yeah. If you want to be on my show, let me know. You can email the station. Go to smithersradio.com. All the information's on there. You can listen to old episodes. You can listen live. And yeah, hopefully I will start coming on more regularly again.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Quinn.
Have a great day, guys.